Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is God's word. It's been a bad decade for bread, hasn't it? At some point in the last 10 to 15 years, we've apparently learned that carbs and gluten are about two of the very worst things you could ever put into your body. Ever. I'm only being a bit sarcastic there because there are obvious benefits to cutting out, or at the very least, cutting way back on the carbs in your diet, especially those starches, the pastas and potatoes. And as someone who perpetually struggles with his weight, I definitely have more success in shedding a few pounds when I do cut those things out of my diet. And considering that two of my favorite things in the world to eat are, one, a giant bowl of buttered noodles, or two, a sandwich, a nice big sandwich on two nice thick slices of soft white bread, you can see how cutting those things out of my diet would be to my advantage, or at the very least, maybe cutting down on portion size a bit. You see, bread and other related foods leave you feeling heavy, as well as adding to your waistline. A meal full of wonderful starch and gluten does indeed tend to stick to your ribs for a lot longer than, say, a nice leafy green salad with lots of vegetables and not tons of ranch dressing and cheese and meat like I like to put on them. Well, now, while our culture has encouraged us to shift away from a diet filled with bread and similar foods, it would serve us well to remember that the world into which our Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago was a world that was very bread-centric. Bread was at the heart of the diet for an Israelite. Consider that when Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he didn't say, "Give us this day our daily food." He didn't say, "Give us this day the things we need." He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." And that word was important because bread, as Luther rightly points out, was sort of a word that encompasses everything we need in our bodies. Food, drink, shelter, clothing. I mean, everything we need to live on this earth from day to day. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're asking God to provide us with all those things. But the reason Jesus uses the term bread for all of these things is because bread was indeed the very first concern of a first century Jewish family. In that time, if you were a poor family, you could feed your entire household. Remember, their households were a lot bigger than ours. You had often two, three, maybe four generations all living together under one roof. And if you had some flour, some yeast, some water, and maybe a little bit of oil, you could make a nice loaf of bread that would feed the entire family for that day. Think about it. If you needed one food to sustain you daily, wouldn't you want it to be something that sticks to your ribs and kind of leaves you feeling full and satisfied? In our Old Testament reading, God fed the children of Israel with bread that came from heaven. They called it manna, or as our reading tells us, a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. Moses told them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." So we have bread in the Old Testament reading, and then in our gospel as well. Because our gospel takes place right after Jesus had fed the crowds with just two fish and five small loaves of what? Bread. Now, we read that it was 5,000. We often call it the feeding of the 5,000, but the text actually says it was 5,000 men plus women and children. It was probably more like 10 to 15,000 people that Jesus fed out of two fish and five small loaves. And we see that our God is a God who gives his people bread to eat, whether they are journeying toward Mount Sinai, like Israel in the Old Testament, or whether they are those who are following Jesus, watching his miracles and hearing his teachings in our gospel. When you are a disciple, your Lord God promises to feed you and nourish you with something that will sustain you, something that leaves you full and satisfied. The people who followed Jesus in our gospel are those same people who had just eaten that miraculous meal of bread and fish. And they want to keep tabs on this guy. Remember what I said about how people were preoccupied with whether or not, that was a real question, will we have daily bread today? Will we have food to eat? And all of a sudden, here's this guy who can take five little loaves, two fish, and feed 5, 10, 15,000 people. We want to follow this guy, don't we? They were even past the point of even caring about the miracles and the teachings. Jesus tells us so. He says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." They want to be with the magic bread guy. They want to be with the guy who eliminates that worry about having to look for daily bread from day to day. They follow Jesus because of what they might get out of it. But Jesus points them away from this longing to fill their stomachs and points them towards something greater. And that's what this reading is. These followers focusing so much on earthly things, and Jesus trying to point them beyond that. He says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." The question I want to ask you this morning is, are you following Jesus because of what you hope you might get out of it? I hear more and more people talk about Sunday morning like it's some sort of lucky charm, kind of a talisman, if you will. A lucky charm that helps you throughout your week. And the thinking kind of goes like this: well, if I go to church on Sunday, then my week will go well. If I don't go to church on Sunday, things could go badly. And you know what? Because I think that logic has been so pervasive and so many people have been conditioned to think that way, it's why so many people have fallen away from the church. Because that logic has been proven wrong. You don't leave here this morning with any sort of guarantee that life's going to come up smelling like a rose. If you've got daily bread problems in your life, there is no guarantee those situations will change. Those of you who have money problems today will very likely have the exact same problems tomorrow morning. Those of you who are struggling with your weight are not going to wake up magically skinny and no longer craving bread, pasta, and deep-fried fatty foods and sweets. Those of you who are having problems with a job are not going to automatically find everything hunky-dory when you get back to work tomorrow morning just because you were in church this morning. So then you might ask, what is the point? If your attendance in church doesn't make your life better, then why bother? The people following Jesus after this miracle were wondering the same thing. They want to know, how can we change the day in and day out of our lives? They ask Jesus, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Because in the minds of the people, it works like this: if I do A, God will give me B, and then C, everything will be great. In other words, they wanted to know what they could do to end the struggle, to keep on eating magic bread from this guy Jesus and never have to worry about daily bread again. Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." You see, he's pointing them away from bread. They still don't get it. They ask him, "What sign do you do that we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness." They're asking, "Where's our manna? Where's our bread from heaven to eat?" And don't you and I essentially say the same thing? "Lord, where's my help? Where's the money going to come from, Lord? When are these work problems going to end? When will this temptation leave me? When are all my problems going to be made right?" We read beginning at verse 32, "Jesus then said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst.'" What does your heavenly Father give you? Not magic bread, not answers that rain down from heaven. He gives you Jesus. He gives you his Son. He gives you the one who offers his very life into death to win you back from the grasp of sin, death, and Satan. To those who struggle in this life where we depend on bread and all that goes with it, Jesus gives you himself. And it is enough. This Jesus is the bread of God, he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Have you been cutting the bread out of your spiritual diet? You've been settling for gluten-free Christianity? Maybe you want immediate answers and immediate solutions and immediate results. You want a faith that is, by your own definition, relevant and applies to the day in and day out of your life. And to that mindset, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." In the middle of it all, the day in, the day out, the struggle, the problems with daily bread, the problems with our possessions and our homes and our food and our bills and our families and our jobs and everything that goes with it, when we're craving something more, when we're craving something miraculous and out of the ordinary, Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." He says to you, "Hear my words." He says to you, "Look to my cross." He says to you, "Eat my body and drink my blood." He says, "Believe." What you need is Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life, the very foundation, the building block of your spiritual diet. What you need is him and his death upon Calvary's cross for you. You need his word. You need his body and his blood. You need him who gives all of himself for you. When that crowd that followed Jesus spoke with him and said, "Sir, give us this bread always," they were still thinking about physical bread made of flour and yeast and water. God grant you to always say, Lord, give us this bread always. Because it's Jesus himself that you desire. He's the bread that never leaves you feeling as though you've eaten too much. He is the bread of which you can never be too full. Because there's no such thing as a low-carb Christianity. Jesus is the bread of life, and the Christian faith is exactly what that name says. The Christian faith is faith in Christ. The Jesus who gives all of himself for you. The Jesus who takes on your human flesh, lives among humanity as a person like you, endures temptation like you, understands human weakness like you understand it. He takes all of your sin, every bit of it, onto his holy, perfect body and gives himself into death for you. He rises again on the third day for you, so that you enjoy this promise of resurrection as well. If you have a Lord who loves you so much, so completely, and gives you so much of himself, why should you ever doubt that you will be given daily bread? Why should you ever doubt that God will sustain you and preserve you through all your struggles? St. Paul writes in Romans 8, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus invites you to come today and to be filled. Filled with bread, the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ himself. He invites you to feast on him and be filled and be satisfied. And to know that you no longer need to hunger or thirst, because all things work together for the good of those who come seeking this bread of life. Dear friends in Christ, feed on him today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that he is a Lord who is faithful, who will feed you, who will keep you, who will preserve you amongst all the daily bread problems of your life. To this Jesus, our bread of life, be the glory now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.